Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, so we're back for another deep dive, and today we're taking a look at Kimberly-Clark.
Yeah, we're going to try to unpack their latest strategic moves.
Exactly. So we've got a couple of pretty key documents here. We've got their Q3 2024 earnings call transcript and their 10Q report for the same period.
And these are dense documents packed with financial information.
Yeah, and I'm already seeing some jargon that I'm sure a lot of people would have trouble deciphering.
Exactly. And that's where we come in, right? We're here to break it down, make it understandable, and pull out those nuggets of insight that everyone can use.
Perfect. So Let me just jump right into it. Something really caught my eye was this whole powering care strategy that they kept mentioning.
Yeah, three pillars, right? Accelerating innovation, optimizing the margin structure, and rewiring the organization for growth.
Yeah, sounds impressive. But what does it actually mean for the average person?
Well, it seems to indicate a significant shift, you know? They're moving away from just focusing on price increases to drive growth.
Oh.
And instead, they're emphasizing volume and mix, you know, selling more product and fine-tuning their product mix to better meet consumer needs.
So basically, they're being a little bit more strategic about what they're selling and how they're selling it instead of just slapping a higher price tag on everything.
Exactly. And to support this new strategy, they've actually restructured their entire organization.
Really?
Yeah. They've created three new segments: North America, International Personal Care, and then International Family Care and Professional.
Okay. So new structure, new strategy. But are they actually seeing results?
Well, based on the earnings call, it seems like they are making some progress. You know, consumption growth is pretty resilient, especially in key markets.
Which ones are we talking?
Like China, North America, Brazil, these are big markets for them, and they're seeing good consumption.
That's encouraging, especially given, you know, the current economic climate.
Yeah, for sure. But there was something that caught my eye in the report. They mentioned lower shipments in Q3 compared to consumption.
Yeah, I saw that too. What's the deal with that?
So they point to a few things, like retailers adjusting their inventory levels.
Oh, okay.
Because now the supply chains are stabilizing after all the pandemic disruptions.
Right. Right. It makes sense. They probably overstocked when things were so unpredictable.
Exactly. Plus, with interest rates higher, now retailers are being more cautious about holding too much inventory.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then on top of that, they had Hurricane Helene, which, you know, disrupted shipping from their facilities in the southeastern U.S.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah. So, you know, a bunch of factors coming together to create that discrepancy between shipments and consumption.
Okay, so it seems like a confluence of events, but I'm still wondering, if consumer demand is strong, why should we be worried about lower shipments? Shouldn't we just see that as a temporary blip?
That's the question, isn't it? It could be temporary, but it also could highlight some vulnerabilities for Kimberly-Clark.
Such as?
Well, for example, if retailers continue to hold less inventory, it could affect Kimberly-Clark's ability to meet that demand quickly, which could hurt their sales down the line.
That's a good point. It's not just about people wanting to buy the products. It's about the company being able to get those products on the shelves when and where they're needed.
Precisely. And that's where their integrated margin management approach comes in.
This is something else I saw in the report.
Yeah, they're basically aiming to break even, at least when it comes to price increases versus cost increases.
So they're trying to be very careful about cost control to kind of offset any potential lost revenue from those lower shipments we were talking about.
Exactly. They want to make sure that any price hikes they pass on to consumers are balanced out by savings in their operations.
Got it. And are they actually achieving that balance?
Well, so far, it seems like they're doing a pretty decent job.
What makes you say that?
Well, they reported $385 million in gross supply chain productivity so far this year.
Okay, so they're finding ways to cut costs and improve efficiency.
They are, and that's a good sign, right? It shows that they're serious about managing those margins and making sure that every dollar counts.
Yeah, I think that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the overall strategy and some of the challenges they're facing, but I want to shift gears for a minute and talk about one of their specific brands that really caught my eye in the earnings call, Depend.
Yes, their adult care brand. It seems like they've been investing a lot in that category and it's paying off.
Yeah, they mentioned a 9% compound annual growth rate for Depend over the past 3 years.
That's pretty impressive, especially for a category that's not exactly known for rapid growth.
Exactly. So what's driving that success? Are people just buying more adult diapers or is there something more to it?
Well, they've been really smart about leveraging digital channels to reach new customers.
Oh, interesting.
For example, they talked about the Night Defense campaign.
Yeah, I saw that. What did they say about that?
Well, they mentioned a significant increase in traffic to their product pages and a higher number of people actually viewing those pages, which is great.
Yeah, that's good for awareness. But did they say anything about actual sales?
Well, yeah, they did highlight a big jump in conversion rates for one of their products, Depend Fresh Protection, after using AI-powered content optimization.
Okay, so they're not just attracting eyeballs, they're actually turning those views into purchases.
Exactly. They're using data and technology to personalize their marketing and make it more effective.
That's a really smart move, and I'm sure we're going to see more and more companies doing that in the future.
Oh, absolutely. It's all about understanding the customer and giving them what they want, when and where they want it.
Okay, so we've talked about strategy, we've talked about Depend, but let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. How is Kimberly-Clark actually performing financially overall?
Well, according to their 10-Q for the 9 months ending September 30th, 2024, they reported $15.13 billion in net sales.
$15 billion. Wow, that's a big number. But is that good or bad?
Well, it's actually down 2% compared to the same period last year.
So even with the success of Depend, their overall sales are down.
Yeah, which is something to keep in mind, right? Even with those wins, there are still some challenges that they're facing.
Okay, so sales are down slightly. But what about profitability?
Well, their operating profit came in at $2.662 billion, which is pretty healthy.
Yeah.
And that translated to a net income of $2.098 billion, or diluted earnings per share of $6.21.
Okay, so they're still making money, but those numbers don't really tell us much about the long-term health of the company.
You're right. We need to look at their cash flow and debt, too.
So what do those numbers tell us?
Well, they generated $2.417 billion in cash from operations.
Okay, that's a good sign, right?
It is, but their total debt stands at $7.447 billion.
Okay, that's a lot of debt.
It is, and it's something investors will be watching closely.
Yeah, so it seems like a bit of a mixed bag financially, right?
Yeah, you could say that. They're generating cash, but they also have this big debt load, and sales are down slightly, even with some bright spots like Depend.
Okay, so before we get too bogged down in the numbers, I'm kind of curious to hear more about how each of their business segments is doing. We've talked a lot about Depend, but what about their other products like tissues and professional products? Are those areas holding up?
That's a great question, and I think it's a perfect place to pick up next time because we need to dive into those individual segments and see what's really driving their performance.
I agree.
So stay tuned. We'll be back with more insights on Kimberly-Clark.
All right, sounds good. We'll be right back after a quick break. Okay, so we're back and ready to dig a little deeper into Kimberly-Clark's different business segments.
Yeah, we've got to see how those tissues and professional products are performing.
Right. We spent a lot of time talking about Depend. But those other segments are a huge part of their business, too.
Absolutely. So let's start with personal care. You know, this is where we see the impact of that digital push with Depend sales and the overall health of that category.
Okay, sounds good. So what are the key takeaways there?
Well, Kimberly-Clark's overall sales were down 2% for the recent quarter, but personal care sales were also down 2%, so kind of in line with the overall trend.
Okay, but is there anything positive to point to there, or is it just all doom and gloom?
Well, actually, their organic sales for personal care increased by 3%.
So they are seeing growth when you factor out things like currency fluctuations and acquisitions or divestitures.
Exactly. So their core business in this segment seems to be pretty healthy, you know, despite those external pressures.
That's good to hear. I'm guessing Depend is playing a big role in that organic growth.
Oh, absolutely. Depend is a star performer for them right now.
Yeah. And they're not just relying on existing products.
Nope. They're actually expanding the Depend brand into new segments.
Like what?
Well, they're moving into the men's adult care market.
Makes sense. Got to target everyone.
Right. And they're using some clever marketing too, like their partnership with Emmett Smith.
Oh yeah, I saw that campaign. Smart move, using a well-known spokesperson to reach a new audience.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay, so moving on, let's talk about consumer tissue. This is a massive part of their business, right?
It is, but I have a feeling this segment might be facing some challenges.
You're right, net sales for consumer tissue were $1.5 billion for the quarter.
Okay, and how does that compare to last year?
It's down 2%.
So not great. Is that mainly because of the strong dollar, or are there other factors at play?
Currency definitely plays a role, but the bigger issue is the decline in organic sales, mainly in North America.
Okay, so this goes back to what we were discussing earlier about retailers adjusting their inventory levels.
Exactly. It seems like that's having a real impact on consumer tissue sales.
So even if people still want to buy Kleenex and all that, Kimberly-Clark is taking a hit because stores are ordering less.
That's the situation they're facing.
Okay, so some trouble in North America for consumer tissue.
Yeah.
But what about internationally? Any growth there?
Well, their international developed markets are actually doing pretty well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They saw volume growth of 3% in the last quarter. They specifically mentioned Kleenex in the UK and Australia, and Andrex in the UK doing well.
Okay, so some brands and regions are holding up while others are struggling. Sounds like a mixed bag overall for consumer tissue.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to the last segment. KC Professional, what's going on over there?
So this segment has gone through some big changes. Remember, they sold their personal protective equipment business back in July of 2024.
Right. I remember that. How has that divestiture affected their numbers?
Well, KC Professional reported $767 million in net sales for the recent quarter.
Okay. That sounds like a pretty significant drop.
It is. It's a 10% decrease compared to last year.
And I'm guessing most of that is because of the PPE sale, right?
Yeah. The divestiture and unfavorable currency are the main drivers there.
But what about organically?
Even after adjusting for those factors, organic sales still declined by 1%.
Hmm. So even without the PPE business, they're still facing some headwinds.
Yeah, it looks like lower pricing in developed markets and lower volume in North America are contributing to that decline.
Okay, so a combination of pricing pressure and softer demand. Not ideal.
Yeah, it's not great. And it's worth noting that this segment is also being affected by the overall economic slowdown.
Right, when businesses start cutting back, things like office supplies and cleaning products are often the first to go.
Exactly. So that's definitely putting some pressure on KC Professional.
Okay, so we've gotten a good sense of how each segment is performing. But now I'm curious, what are your overall thoughts on Kimberly-Clark's business based on all this?
Well, it's a mixed bag for sure. They're clearly facing some challenges, but there are also some bright spots.
Like what?
Well, their focus on innovation is encouraging, and their strategic investments in areas like adult care and digital marketing seem to be paying off.
Yeah, I agree. Those are definitely positives.
And their commitment to cost control is crucial in this environment.
For sure. So would you say you're optimistic about their future?
I'd say cautiously optimistic.
Okay, so why cautious? What are the things that are making you hesitate?
Well, the economic environment is still uncertain, and consumer behavior is shifting rapidly. You know, it's a challenging landscape for any consumer goods company right now.
That's true, but Kimberly-Clark seems to be adapting and making changes to address those challenges.
They are, and I think that's what's most important. They're not just standing still. They're actively trying to position themselves for success in the long term.
Okay, so they're not just reacting to the current situation. They're thinking ahead.
Exactly. And that's what gives me some optimism. They're not afraid to try new things. They're investing in innovation, and they're focused on the future. And I think that's a good recipe for success in any industry.
All right. Well, that's a great note to end on.
Yeah.
Kimberly-Clark is facing some headwinds, but they're also making some smart moves. And it's going to be really interesting to see how all of this plays out in the coming years.
Absolutely. It's a story worth following.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about their financials and their strategic initiatives, but I want to shift gears for a minute and talk about something we haven't discussed yet, sustainability.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a hot topic these days, and consumers are really demanding that companies take it seriously.
Yeah, for sure.
So how is Kimberly-Clark addressing this issue?
Well, they've actually been a leader in this space for a while now. Yeah, they've set some pretty ambitious goals for reducing their environmental footprint.
Like what?
Well, they're talking about reducing greenhouse gas emissions, water usage, and waste generation. Those are all big priorities for them.
Those are all important goals, but are they actually making progress? I mean, it's easy to set targets, but actually achieving them is another matter entirely.
Well, they're making some real tangible progress. They've implemented a bunch of different initiatives to reduce their energy consumption and waste generation at their manufacturing facilities.
Oh, yeah.
And they're also working to source their raw materials more sustainably.
So they're looking at their entire supply chain, from where they get their materials to how they produce their products to how they dispose of waste.
Exactly. It's a holistic approach.
That's good to hear. But what about their products themselves? Are they making any changes to make their products more sustainable?
Yeah, they are. They've been innovating in areas like packaging, using more recyclable and biodegradable materials. And they're trying to reduce the amount of water and energy used to actually make their products.
Okay, so it sounds like they're really trying to walk the walk when it comes to sustainability. But how do they communicate these efforts to consumers?
That's a key question, right? Because consumers want to know what companies are doing and they want to know that it's authentic.
Exactly.
So Kimberly-Clark is definitely trying to be more transparent. They've published detailed sustainability reports outlining their goals and their progress.
That's good.
And they're also incorporating sustainability messaging into their marketing and branding.
Right. It's got to be part of their overall story.
Exactly. And I think they're doing a pretty good job of that so far.
Okay. So it seems like they're making a genuine effort to be more sustainable, which is great.
Yeah, they're taking it seriously, and that's important.
All right, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Financials, strategy, sustainability. I'm starting to get a pretty good picture of Kimberly-Clark's current state and where they're headed. But before we wrap up, I want to go back to something we touched on earlier, their commitment to digital transformation.
Yeah.
It seems like that's a really big part of their strategy, especially with all the success they're having with Depend.
Absolutely. Digital is going to be crucial for them moving forward and really for any consumer goods company.
So it's not just about selling products online anymore, right?
Nope. It's about using digital tools and technologies to connect with consumers on a deeper level, you know, to build relationships and create experiences.
So it's about more than just transactions. It's about engagement.
Exactly. And Kimberly-Clark seems to be embracing that shift. They're investing in data analytics to understand their consumers by they're using AI to personalize their marketing messages, and they're building seamless digital experiences across all touch points.
Right. It's about meeting the customer where they are.
Exactly. Yeah. Their work with Depend is a great example of this.
Yeah. They're using those digital channels to reach new customers, to provide information, and even offer support. It's a whole different way of thinking about the customer relationship.
It is. And it's not just about marketing and sales either. They're also using digital tools to improve their operations, streamline their supply chain, and even develop new products.
Wow. So digital is really becoming embedded in every aspect of their business.
It is. And I think that's the direction things are headed.
But what are some of the challenges they face in this area?
Well, one challenge is just keeping up with the pace of change. You know, technology is constantly evolving and companies need to be agile and adaptable to stay ahead of the curve.
Right. So it's not enough to just implement a few digital tools. You got to constantly be innovating and experimenting.
Exactly. And then another big challenge is data privacy.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge one.
Consumers are much more aware of how companies are using their data now, and they're demanding more transparency and control.
Right. They want to know what's being collected and how it's being used.
Exactly. So Kimberly-Clark, like any company that's collecting and using consumer data, needs to be very careful about how they manage that issue.
It's a delicate balance between using data to improve the customer experience and respecting consumer privacy.
It is. And they need to find that balance if they want to build trust and loyalty with their customers.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so it sounds like digital is both an opportunity and a challenge for Kimberly-Clark.
It is. It has the potential to really transform their business, but they also need to be mindful of the risks and challenges involved.
Okay, so as we start to wrap up this deep dive, what are your key takeaways? What are the most important things for our listeners to understand about Kimberly-Clark right now?
Well, I think the key takeaway is that Kimberly-Clark is at a crossroads.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Well, they're facing some real headwinds. You know, the economic environment is uncertain, competition is fierce, and consumer behavior is changing rapidly.
Yeah, those are some serious challenges.
They are, but at the same time, they're also making some strategic moves that could position them for long-term success.
So it's a time of both challenge and opportunity.
Exactly. Their success will depend on their ability to execute their strategy, to adapt to changing market conditions, and to stay ahead of the curve when it comes to innovation and technology.
And it's not just about financial performance.
Right. They also need to continue to build trust with consumers, demonstrate their commitment to sustainability, and be a responsible corporate citizen.
Yeah, all of those things are becoming increasingly important.
Absolutely. Those factors are going to play a big role in determining Kimberly-Clark's long-term success.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, but I feel like we've only scratched the surface.
Yeah.
Kimberly-Clark is a complex company operating in a really dynamic industry. There's always more to learn and explore.
That's true, and that's what makes it so interesting, right?
Yeah.
We can keep diving deeper, uncovering new insights, and gaining a better understanding of how companies like Kimberly-Clark are shaping the world around us.
Absolutely. All right, so on that note, I think it's time to wrap up this part of our deep dive. But don't worry, we'll be back soon to explore even more fascinating insights about Kimberly-Clark.
Yeah, there's a lot more to discuss.
Stay tuned. We're back. And, you know, as we wrap up our deep dive into Kimberly-Clark, I'm thinking we've covered so much ground, but there's always that, like, one more layer.
Always something more to uncover, right?
Yeah.
Especially with a company as dynamic as Kimberly-Clark.
Exactly. And speaking of a changing world, I want to touch on something that's super important to consumers these days. Social responsibility.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's not just about profits anymore. Consumers care about a company's purpose and values.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how does Kimberly-Clark measure up in this area? Are they walking the walk or is it all just talk?
Well, they've actually been increasingly vocal about their commitment to social impact.
Okay. In what ways?
It goes beyond just sustainability. They're talking about things like diversity and inclusion, community engagement, and ethical sourcing practices.
Okay, but are they actually taking concrete steps to address these issues, or is it just lip service?
Well, it seems like they're taking some concrete steps.
Mm.
For example, they've set specific targets for increasing diversity at all levels of the company.
Okay.
And they've implemented programs to support female and minority-owned suppliers.
That's great to hear, because it's one thing to talk about diversity and inclusion.
Right.
It's another thing entirely to actually put programs in place that make a real difference.
Exactly. And they're also involved in various community initiatives around the world, focusing on things like providing access to clean water and sanitation in developing countries.
So they're trying to make a positive impact, both internally and externally, which is great.
Yeah, they're taking a holistic view of social responsibility, and I think that's smart.
Why is that?
Well, consumers today, especially younger generations, really care about a company's values. They want to support brands that align with what they believe in.
So if Kimberly-Clark can show that they're genuinely committed to these issues,
right,
it could actually give them a competitive advantage.
Absolutely. It's not just about doing the right thing. It's good business sense.
It's a win-win situation.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about their financials, strategy, sustainability, digital transformation, and now their commitment to social responsibility. What's the big picture here? What's the story that Kimberly-Clark is trying to tell?
I think the story they're trying to tell is one of transformation.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Well, they're acknowledging that the world is changing, and they're changing with it. They're not afraid to embrace new ideas, try new things, and challenge the status quo.
Which is pretty impressive for a company that's been around for over 150 years.
It is. I mean, they could easily just rest on their laurels and keep doing things the way they've always done them.
Right, but it sounds like they're not content with the status quo.
Exactly. They recognize that to stay relevant and competitive, they need to keep evolving, and they're willing to take risks to make that happen.
So they're not just managing for the present, they're building for the future.
Precisely. And that's what makes them so interesting to watch. They're a company in transition, and it's going to be fascinating to see where they end up.
I agree. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you want our listeners to remember about Kimberly-Clark?
I think the key takeaway is this. Kimberly-Clark is a company that's not afraid to reinvent itself. They're embracing change, challenging conventions, and striving to make a positive impact on the world, whether they succeed or not. Well, that remains to be seen. But their journey is definitely worth watching.
I think that's a great point. Kimberly-Clark is a company to keep an eye on in the coming years.
Definitely.
All right, well, that wraps up our deep dive into Kimberly-Clark. We hope you enjoyed this exploration of their transformation.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
We'll be back soon with another deep dive into the world of business and finance. Until then, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.